All right, everyone, time for another edition of Holding Court. And boy, I've been looking forward to this one where I can actually talk about tennis that's actually being played rather than issues surrounding tennis. Of course, we will stay on top of any issues as they arise, whether it's Peng Shuai related. I need to get back on that story, of course. And of course, the Novak Djokovic situation as it unfolded in Australia was quite a story. I had some great guests discuss it, educated me, and hopefully educated you. But we're in the thick of the tournament now. I am up in my hotel room in beautiful, bucolic Bristol, Connecticut, home, of course, of ESPN headquarters, which is where we are covering the tournament this year, as we did last year, hoping that maybe in 2023 we'll be back covering the tournament and hoping we'll actually be in Melbourne, because anyone who knows me knows that it's one of my favorite tournaments to go to, played there, had great success for me as a player there, but going back there every year to commentate it, as I've been doing for ESPN now for almost 20 years, oh five, more than that, actually, 25 years. So anyway, let's get to the tournament, and let's just go through the draw, if you don't mind, because I've got it in front of me. Let's start with the men's draw. Of course, the top section of the draw was where Novak Djokovic was. And now we've got another Serbian taking his place, Kecmanovic, who had a good win over Tommy Paul. That was an opportunity for the American Tommy Paul. Very tight match. It was 6-5 and 6 to the Serbian. Two very close tie breaks. Paul had chances. I saw quite a bit of it, not all of it, but I saw the second and thirds where Paul had chances in both of those, and I'm assuming he did in the first as it went to 9-7 in the tiebreak. So opportunity missed for Tommy, but I like the way he's looking overall. Good tournament win for him at the end of last year in Stockholm. So the American, I think, on his way to becoming potentially top 30 player this year. Kecmanovic, solid off the ground, will take on the number 25 seed now, Lorenzo Sonego of Italy, who I actually think is going to win this match. He's had two pretty routine wins, one over Sam Querrey and one over Oscar Ate. So Sonego, Kecmanovic, the winner of that one will take on either Monfils or Garin, two seeds actually seeded very closely together. Garin, the Chilean. Monfils is 17, Garin is 16. But I like Monfils in this one. He's winning the tournament, the warm-up tournament, coming in with confidence. He's just blitzed his first two opponents, Correa of Argentina, 1-1-3. And then Bublik, who's kind of tricky to play sometimes, but Monfils just taking care of business routinely, 1-0-4. And Garin had a very tough physical win in five sets over Pedro Martinez. So I like Monfils. In fact, I like Monfils, I think, to get through that section and make the quarterfinals. Boy, he's looking solid. Korda. Sebastian Korda next in this part of the draw. Huge win for him over Moutet, the talented Frenchman. Tons of drop shots from the lefty. Korda a little bit too solid in that final set tiebreak. It went the distance, and it was Sebastian Korda winning it. I believe it was 10-6 in that final tiebreak. So next up for him will be Karina Busta, who also had a very tough physical match against Griekspor, went five sets there, 6-4 in the fifth for the number 19 seed from Spain. That's a tight one. That's a tight call. Very slight favorite, maybe Karina Busta, just a little bit more experience. But, you know, it's really going to be about recovery in the next 24 hours in this one. You'd think Karina Busta, slight edge in the fitness department just because he's been out there a little bit longer. Korda, obviously improving a ton. I'm going to give the edge to the Spaniard there. I'd obviously love to see Korda as an American come through. I love the way he's developing. If he plays his best, Korda will win. And in a year or two, I think Korda will be the solid favorite in this matchup. But right now, leaning to the veteran from Spain. Boy, I'm looking forward to this next matchup. Alcaraz, the youngster from Spain, who's the 31st seed, against Matteo Berrettini, who took out Stefan Kozlov. Nice to see Kozlov, as Brad Gilbert calls him, my guy. Brad and I have a sort of ongoing joke, sort of fun, as we follow various players. Of course, we follow the young American. We follow all the players, but particularly the American. So I was always telling Brad back in the day that I like Kozlov. Brad wasn't so high on old Kaz when he was a teenager. Of course, he was one of the top teen players in the world. And it turned out Brad was probably right, although Kozlov starting to make his way. He won the wild card playoff, which happens over the course of some challengers in the United States in the fall. So we always go back and forth texting each other, watching all these tournaments. And so that's why he calls Kozlov my guy. Like stuff, I don't know him that well. I know him from my years at the USTA, just as I know a lot of the other players his age. But anyway, I digress. Nice to see Kozlov get a win in the opening round over Vesely. Took a set off Berrettini, but Berrettini just too strong physically in this match. So Alcaraz, Berrettini, I'm going to go with the youngster. I just love Alcaraz. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I would not be shocked to see Alcaraz make it all the way to the semifinals. If he gets through Berrettini, he's then got, you know, likely Monfils if Monfils gets through. So wouldn't shock me. I mean, I think he's ready. Berrettini, you know, a little bit more power at the moment, but boy, I am so impressed. I've said this a few times. I'll say it on my podcast now. I believe that Alcaraz is the next great player. Maybe Sinner in there as well. Obviously, there's a lot of really, really good young players. I'm talking about the youngsters, the next-gen guys coming up. I just love Alcaraz's all-court game, his power, his speed, his demeanor on the court. I like him over Berrettini. Now we go to sort of the bottom section of the top half, where it will likely be Zverev, the three seed, who's rolled his first two rounds. He's probably right now the favorite in this section of the draw, even with Nadal in there. I'll get to that momentarily. Albert, who came through the qualies, Zverev will win that easily. Opelka, Shapovalov. That's a good one. Two guys similar in age. Shapovalov, a little bit better results in some big tournaments thus far. Big win for Opelka to beat Dominic Kepfer. Big, I say, because Kepfer had beaten Riley a couple of times. Got through it in straight sets. Shapovalov has struggled in his first two matches, which he really shouldn't have. Four sets against Zier from Serbia. Should have won that more comfortably. And then went the distance against Kwan. Solid player is Kwan, but Shapovalov, that's a match you got to take care of a little bit more routinely. It was three tie breaks, the first three sets. Shapo got down 2-1, came on strong in the fourth, and then won it easily in the fifth, 6-2. But I'm going to give the edge to Riley in this one, just based on the fact that he's had two pretty routine matches. Shapovalov, is the biggest weakness in his game is his return to serve. And obviously against Opelka, that's a factor. Riley playing better. Jay Berger, my old buddy from the USTA and Davis Cup, has been working with him. He tells me Riley is working extremely hard, very motivated in the off season. So I like Riley. Slight upset that would be, slight, I should say, to get through that one. All right, Mannarino and Karetsev. Mannarino, pretty surprisingly easy win over Hurkacz, the 10 seed, 4-2-3. Karetsev won that, remember, that first round in five. I believe that was well over 4 hours, that match. And he took out Mackie McDonald in four sets. Got to like Karetsev in this one, unless he's fatigued, which is possible, because he also won one of the lead-up tournaments. But he's strong like bull, Karetsev. He's got more firepower than Mannarino, but Mannarino tricky. So if Karetsev's a little off physically, it could be tricky, but I'm going to go with the Russian, the number 18 seed in that one. Nadal taking on Khachanov. You know, that could be tricky for Rafa. Remember they played at the U.S. Open a number of years ago when Khachanov was really at his best and Rafa won a really tough physical four-set match. Khachanov has dropped off a little bit in the last 18 months. He's a 28 seed. He's had two pretty straightforward wins. Rafa looking very, very good. But Khachanov, a guy with the firepower on the serve and, you know, the big tall guy, good two-handed backhand, can hit it big, hit it cross. I'm going to say Rafa pulls that out, but it wouldn't shock me if that's a very, very, very tough match. All right, we go to matches that will be played later tonight, our time. Second round matches, Mulkin and Duhar. That's sort of a pick-em. I'd probably go with Andujar on that. Di Manor, got to like him to get through. Majacek, I think I'm saying his name right. I got to check my pronunciation notes before I go on air with ESPN. So, you know, I can wing it a little bit more in my podcast, not when I'm on live with ESPN. They give us the pronunciations of the tricky names. But DeMenor, yeah, I think I like him to get through that. And pretty good section for him, actually, because the winner of that takes on Malkin or Andujar to get to round four. So good opportunity for DeMenor, the Aussie, the number 32 seed. Then we got Murray against Taro Daniel. So the big question after Murray's win over Basilashvili in five, excuse me, how he recovers physically. If he does recover well, he should win that pretty comfortably. Daniel, solid, but mostly a challenger type player, came through the qualies here and had a nice win over another qualifier in the opening round. Johnson against Sinner. Stevie J, of course, out of USC for so many years, such a great career there. Solid career on tour. Sinner, too much game, too much firepower, big off both sides. He'll be able to get Stevie on the run to that backhand side. I think Stevie can keep it close for a set or two based on his competitiveness, his serve, the forehand, his guile. But Sinner, he's another one of these young guys who's a-coming. Batista Agu, Kohlschreiber, two veterans. I like the Spaniard in that one. Tiafoe Fritz, we'll be covering that one on our ESPN coverage tonight. I think myself and James Blake calling that. So looking forward to it. It's a tight match. Fritz, probably the slight favorite, just a little bit more consistent. But Tiafoe had a really solid year this year. I expect both these guys to be top 30 players within six. I mean, Fritz already is there, 20. So I think Tiafoe is playing well enough to be a top 30 player and get seeded at these majors. So he's going to need to do that to avoid his buddy Taylor Fritz early on. I'm going to go Fritz in this one, but it could go either way. I don't have a great feel for that. Obviously, they have a long history in the juniors, good friends. We will have an American into round three. That much we know. Pair, who won a long five-setter in his first round, takes on Dimitrov. Battle of, streaky guys. Pair, of course, at least he's back competing. He had some issues in the beginning of COVID, as we know. He's had some issues throughout his career. Probably, I say, Dimitrov in this one, but not a given. Tsitsipas will roll over Baez from Argentina, who's done very well in challengers the last few months, but Tsitsipas should get through this section. Rublev, Barrancas, love Rublev in that one. Gambis, a qualifier against Cilic. You know, Cilic still hanging around. 27 seed. I'm going Cilic. Evans, Rinderneck. Rinderneck, who took out Popperin, played his college tennis in the States. Evans, though, has looked very solid early stages of this year. I like him. Davidovich, Fokina, Ogier Aliassime. Should be Felix in this, but he did go five in the first round against Russo Fiori. Davidovich, Fokina, tough competitor. Could be possible upset there, but I'm going to stick with Ogier Aliassime. Love that kid. We spent some time together with him at Laver Cup. He's a great kid. I shouldn't say kid, young man. And I think he just gets a little more flair to his game because he's so – sometimes I feel he's a little too – methodical, if you know what I mean. I mean, that's always something you think it's a positive for a young player. But for him, I feel like he's such a great athlete. And he's so focused. Sometimes I feel like he could just loosen up a little bit. That would help him. But that'll be a tight match. Schwartzman, O'Connell, the Aussie, who got a wild card and won his first round. But Schwartzman will be too solid. Cressy takes on Mahak, the qualifier from the Czech Republic. Again, I might be butchering his name before I go on air. I'll make sure I get it straight. Love Cressy. Love the way he's going about his business. Wins in five over Isner, the UCLA Bruin. He will get through this. And again, pretty good opportunity for Cressy. If Cressy, Schwartzman in the third round, that would be interesting. Van de Zandschulp against Gasquet. I'm going to go with Botic in this one. Gasquet won in four against Hubert, which I was a little surprised about, the Battle of the Frenchmen. But I'm going to go with Van de Zandschulp in that one. And let me see where else I go. I got to go to, then we got Kyrgios Medvedev. So there we go. That's the one everybody's looking forward to in Australia. That'll be under the lights in Australia. So it'll be in the middle of the night for us. And you can check that out on ESPN Plus. All right, let's go over to the women's draw now. And since I just mentioned ESPN Plus, I mean, I know a lot of you are sending us messages on social media at ESPN, very upset about the coverage shifting over to ESPN Plus. You know, we're not that happy about it as far as we at the tennis team, but let's talk some reality here, people, okay? Because I got to defend ESPN in some way here, because they have every right to do what they need to do to try to make this work, meaning their business work, okay? So let me give you all a little reality check here, okay? First of all, ESPN will be covering the other two majors, not the French, of course, Tennis Channel has that, Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, the way we've always covered it, okay? Now, the reason that ESPN is going to Plus for the Australian Open is mostly because of the time change. The time change factor and the fact that the pandemic has hit and we're doing this event now for the second year in Bristol. And you got to remember, we're doing this in Bristol, Connecticut from essentially early evening all the way through 12 hours the following morning. We did it last year. But here's the deal. That costs ESPN, the company, a lot of money to have be able to have people there all through the, not just us, by the way. We get paid basically the same, we meaning the announcers, whether we're on for 10 minutes or 10 hours, okay? So the point is that it costs ESPN a lot more money to be able to keep people in the studios. And of course, there are more protocols about how many people can be in the studio, because remember, ESPN is owned by Disney and they take these things extremely seriously, which they should, because it relates to their making films, it relates to their television, it relates to the Disney park. So we're all under, the reason I tell you this is because we're under the insane umbrella at ESPN. Okay, so the protocols are significant, they're serious, they take them seriously. Now, when it comes to this tournament, okay, because a lot of the tennis is being played in the middle of the night for us, it's hard for ESPN to sell commercials. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Get sponsors, because, and other than you hardcore tennis fans, and we love you, I love you very much, we understand you're hardcore, but be honest with me. Are you watching all the way through the night, every night? Be honest with yourself. Well, the numbers say that collectively you are not. Okay, so therefore, it costs ESPN a lot of money. And if ESPN was, the ratings for tennis were through the roof, I'm guessing, and again, I don't know this, I don't make these decisions, I'm guessing that we would probably be covering all the matches all day and all night. But the ratings aren't great for tennis in general in this country. Let's hope they improve when some of our young American players can do a little bit better. That would certainly help. But that's the reality of the space we're in. The reality is also, as you're all seeing, whether you're buying Netflix, whether you're buying HBO Max, whether you're buying Peacock, and I bought many of these for myself, for my kids. Dad, we got to get Disney Plus. You know, so we assess what we can do, what we can afford, all of us, and we make these decisions. So we hear you. We understand your frustration. I bought ESPN Plus myself so that I could watch the matches, and I had to buy it when I got back to my hotel room. I think it's $6.99 a month. So we appreciate those of you that have bought it. We hear you. We understand your frustrations. But again, let's hope that we can find the right model, because we all, in the tennis world, we want to show as much tennis as we can on television, but we also have to be aware of the reality that for ESPN and for others, it is a business, and if the business model doesn't work the way it is, then we try to find other ways to make it work. So take a step back, and remember, ESPN is trying to find a way to make this work, so that we can all have as much tennis as we would like to see on television. Okay, that's my little rant on ESPN Plus situation. Let's go back to what's going on court. Again, I told you there are always issues coming up. Barty has been amazing. She's dropped just 3 games in 2 matches. Georgie will give her a little bit more trouble. She's got firepower. She's had 2 very nice wins, but not that much. Barty wins this comfortably. Anisimova, old DC, Darren Cahill working with her. And they're off to a flying start. She won a lead-up tournament. She has won two matches, including just beating Belinda Bencic, the gold medal winner, in straight sets. Love the way she's looking. Osaka next for her. So that will be very interesting. I hope we get to get that on ESPN. Anisimova goes in as a solid underdog. Osaka, great to see her back, happy, enjoying herself, seems to have a great attitude. She's won two matches in straight sets. Osaka, a solid favorite. Look, Osaka and Barty are the two favorites, the two odds makers favorites at the to win the tournament. And they are scheduled to play in the fourth round. So that's a little bit of a bummer, to be honest, but it's also a very, very intriguing fourth round match. And the reason that that's going to happen is because Osaka's ranking has dropped because of the fact that she took, you know, quite a bit of time off last year. So that won't last, I think, for that long. Although she loses to Barty or Anisimova, she's going to lose a lot of her points from winning the title. So Osaka's going to have to rebuild her ranking. And I think that from what I've seen, that is going to happen. All right, Parizas Diaz. I got to be honest, I don't know her. She got a walkover in the second round. She won her first round easily. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup at this point. Got to be honest. I'll do my homework on her because she's playing Jess Pegula next, who won a straight setter against Para in the last round. So I can't really make a prediction other than to just based on the rankings. But I don't know this Diaz. So Pegula, though, solid. She must be pumped about her Buffalo Bills. I know she doesn't like it when people say that, but it's my podcast, so she won't hear it. Kudermetova against Sakkari. Pretty tight. Kudermetova, 28. Sakkari, though, you get the feeling that she's one of those, you know, 10 to 12 players that could win it. I'm going to go with Sakkari in that one. Krejcikova, Ostapenko. Two French Open champions. I'm going to go Krejcikova to win that. Ostapenko took out Ali Risk in a tough one in 6-4 in the third. Her first match also went three. Krejcikova has rolled her first two matches. I expect that to continue. Azarenka Svitolina. That's a tough little section here. Top half of the top of the women's draw. Svitolina ranked higher, 15 to 24 for Azarenka, but I'm kind of leaning Azarenka. She's won her two matches easily. Svitolina was tested in her last round. Azarenka loves the Australian Open. She's won it a couple of times. I'm going Azarenka in that one. Madison Keys has won two rounds after winning one of the lead-up tournaments. Takes on Wang of China. Keys, let's go. I like the way she's looking. My man Rocket Rodney Marshall is a good buddy of mine who is her trainer. He's been with her through all the various coaches she's had, so he kind of gives me the little tidbits on where she is, but they seem very excited in the Keys camp, and I don't blame them. That was my years at the USTA working. We call him the Rocket. Ran track at Florida State, and he's one of the great guys in tennis. So he's standing by with Madison Keys. Good draw, too. You got Kostyuk, the youngster from Ukraine, and then you've got Bedosa. Wow, what a story she's been, coming out of nowhere from a year ago. I mean, you know, those of us in tennis knew of her, but she's the 8 seed now, and she is just unbelievably strong, powerful, great athlete. So I like her there. I'd love to see Bedosa Keys round four. That would be very, very interesting. All right, we go to the bottom half, and these are the matches, again, that we played later tonight, our time, into through the night. Kontaveit, she's also one of the players that you could say could win it. You know, she's never done that well in a major, but last year she was just on fire the second half of the year, and that's why she's a 6 seed. Takes on Towson, who's a youngster who's extremely talented. But Kontaveit, I think, just a little too strong, a little too big off both wings. Danielle Collins, take on Kanju, who took out Shelby Rogers in a tight three-setter. I'm going to go with Collins in that one. Mertens against Bergu, two veterans. Mertens, she just keeps on plugging away. I'm going to go with her. Rybakina against Zhang. I'm going to go Rybakina getting through a couple. I think Rybakina would also beat Mertens if they play in the next round. Simona Halep takes on Haddad Maia. So Halep looking good. She looks really fit. Obviously, she battled with some injuries throughout quite a bit of last year. So she's you know, split with Darren Cahill. They had a great run for a number of years, so she's got new coach with her. But, you know, for her, it's mostly about her fitness and how she's moving, and she looks great. Raducanu could be next for her, who takes on Kovenich. Raducanu took out Sloane Stephens. That would be, I'd pay some dough to see Raducanu against Halep in the third round. That would be very interesting. Zadanzic, against Heather Watson. I don't know. I might go with Heather in this one. Slight upset. Zadanzic's 29 seed. Solid, but I don't know. That's just a pick'em for me. Cornet, Muguruza. You got to like Muguruza in that. Swiatek against Peterson, the Swede. I'm going to go with the number 17, Iga Swiatek. I still love her game. I love her athleticism. I'm expecting even more from her. Of course, she won the French a couple of years ago. Kazakina, Lynette. I'm going to say Kazakina. She's the seed in this match. Lynette, though, good experienced player. Had a good win for her over Sevastova in the first round. Kristeya Kuchova. I think I'll go Kristeya in this one because she beat Kvitova easily, 2-2. Stozer, her last tournament, and it was great to see her win a round. I believe she won her doubles in the first round. Of course, our own Renee Stubbs, who worked with us at ESPN, who's in Australia. She's the coach. But I think it ends today for her against Pavlyuchenkova, the number 10 seed. Kanepi and Buzkova. I'm going to go, Kanepi beat Kerber. Not a huge upset. You know, Kanepi's always been sort of a giant killer in majors. But you know what? I'm going with Buzkova. I like her all-around game. Haley Baptiste, a qualifier from the U.S., takes on Inglis, who took out Leyla Fernandez, the U.S. Open finalist. So two sort of surprises there into the second round. I'm going Haley Baptiste in that one. Samsonova against Vondrousova. Vondrousova going to win that one. And then we've got Sabalenka and her serving woes, what she overcame in her first round win in three sets. But that's the X factor because she has got the yips basically on her serve, the number two seed. She's the number two seed in the world. And she's got serving yips. And, of course, she had her best run yet in a major at Wimbledon last year. That's a huge if, but if the serve is okay, Sabalenka is a huge favorite to get through her entire section. But that we will have to keep an eye on. So that's just a little overview of the draw as I see it thus far. Again, send me any questions, any other issues that you'd like me to address. I have already put a couple of very great podcasts, I think, in the can on the mental health issues. So those will start to be part of season three here of Holding Court. Of course, we've been tied up for the last couple of months with those big stories with Peng Shuai, which, by the way, I'm going to get back into that as well, and the Novak Djokovic story. That we will continue to have to follow when it comes to what's the future for Novak and for unvaccinated players, of which there are very few at this point in time, with the country of France just announcing that you will not be able to get into the country if you're unvaccinated as an athlete, and the ATP sending out a letter just to the players in the last 24 hours essentially saying that. So that's starting literally like in a week or two because there's some tournaments scheduled in France, challenger events and then tour events, over the course of the next few months. So all the media people, you know, the sort of non-tennis media people saying, well, what's this mean for Djokovic, for, you know, the French Open, Wimbledon, the US Open? I said, well, this means, what does this mean for him, you know, just playing pro tennis for the next few months? Because this issue is going to come up in other countries, France, Italy, Spain, and it's going to be very interesting to see what Mr. Djokovic does. Patrick McEnroe here on Holding Court.
Holding Court with Patrick McEnroe is powered by Mudhouse Media.